Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how we doing today?
I'm good, Jimmy. Back home, how are you?
I am good. We both were traveling this past week. You were all over the country. You were in California. You drove back across country. You were golfing everywhere in the road. And you proved to yourself that you're an old man, didn't you?
Yeah, I have a back injury from, my back is not happy with, 4,000 miles in truck and car seats and hotels and couch beds and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I did it.
you mistreat your back. That's what it's going to do to you. It's going to bark Amen. At you. Meanwhile, this week, I had a very nice week, even though I got back late. Wednesday night, Andy, I was out in State College, more specifically at Pine Grove Hall. First of all, what a great venue, Andy. It's fantastic. It was my first time there. Just some really interesting beers on tap, great menu. The atmosphere, though, spectacular. Myself, Chris Buchanani, Mike Villagrano, we had an event with multiple players from the team to interview. Got a great chance to talk to them. Some great kids. Ryan Barker, the kicker. Cooper Alexander, one of the tight ends that transferred over from Iowa State. And Amarian Davis, a safety from BC, were all there. Great opportunity to meet the kids. They were fantastic. Just great interviews. A lot of fun. We even found out their favorite ice cream at the Creamery. But we're going to do it again, Andy, next week, next Thursday. I don't know what that date is. Is it April 3rd, next Thursday? But we're going to be doing it again. If you get a chance to come out, it's a great time. Please do. 6 o'clock at Pine Grove Hall again. You won't regret it. Great, great place. So, all right. Andy, how about we talk about this Penn State football team? We had Coach Matt Campbell meeting the media press conference earlier this week. What's your biggest highlight from the press conference?
Let me see. Good question. Well, first of all, he's got some blow in his wind. Let's just put it that way. He can talk. And, you know, he thinks every question is a good question. They're not really. They really weren't. It's hard though because everything's so new. There's been a learning curve. There's going to be and there has been a big learning curve for him. And I'm surprised he didn't hold the press conference at 0700 hours in the morning, sort of military style, because one of the big takeaways, and I know we'll talk about it, is he sort of fits under my old school mantra of we get more done before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. So there are winds of change blowing. The spring game's going to blow if you're a Penn State fan of James's nature. Jimmy, if you want it the way you like it, you're like, I want my scrimmage back. That's not going to happen, then this might even be worse. And he's not afraid to share a thought or two when asked a single question. There were a couple questions he literally didn't answer. Like, he talked for a very long time and did not answer the actual question. So I'm going to keep an eye out on him. He got to learn his little tells. He stands up. That's a takeaway for me when I watched it. Like, he stands up, like old school stands up. But, you know, we'll get into the details of it. But those are my initial takeaways, which is likes to talk, thinks every question's good, very engaging. But I could tell also at the same time, he's still trying to find his footing a little bit. And he will continue to do that. I think that's a first year long process because Penn State is a big, big, big difference than Iowa State. This sort of the joke he said, right? Like, it took me 2 weeks how to get in the facility. That's funny, right? Like,
yes,
that's funny, but that's actually probably very true. And it's sort of a snippet of the bigger picture of I've got a lot of adjusting and learning to do, and I'm still doing a lot of it. There's some football things that'll be the same, but there's a lot of learning curve going on for him.
I'll tell you a quick funny story with that. His funny story about learning to get into the building. I was in the Lash building on Wednesday having a meeting, and the guy I was meeting with Mike Villagrana, and he had to run off to another meeting when we finished up, and he's like, "Hey, Jim, sorry, I got to run. We were running late." So I had to find my way out of the building on my own.
Not easy.
I made a few wrong turns. And at one point, I thought I could go from the lifting facility portion of the building. I thought I could just go out that way. I ended up out on the practice field. So I had to retrace my steps. But going back to your comments about Matt Campbell's press conference, there's a couple things. You're right. I took note also of that's a good question. And it's pretty obvious that was he's thinking how to answer the question. And a way to do it is, that's a good question. You know, it's just one of those things. And anyone who has to speak in front of the public, you and I have been doing this for many years, Andy. I'm sure you and I have a couple of those kind of expressions that we use as we're thinking. So that's part of it. You mentioned also the spring game. Well, it's not going to be a spring game. And you predicted it right. I want a spring game.
I know.
But I guess I'm less worked up about it when hearing of so many players coming back off injury. I don't think there's anything serious, Andy, but I think it's, you know, Rocco Beck, I think that's where people are concerned. It's his non-throwing shoulder. He played through it last season, had a procedure done. It's the off season. There's no reason to put him in risk anyway.
They've played he's played 3 years of college football as a starting quarterback. This isn't his first spring ball rodeo as a QB1, right? So if he's got a little bump and bruise or a little cough due to cold, no, even his fall ball, because the offense is going to be exactly what he thinks it is. He's going to know the terminology, you know, the ins and outs of it, as he knows it as good as the OC, right? Like, there's no player on the field that's going to know it better. That, you know, they're going to have to do a good bit of coaching to bring it together. But in terms of his knowledge and X's and O's, he knows it. So you could even be, you know, kid gloves with him through the fall if you needed to be. I don't think they will be, because he'll want to mesh, and as long as he's healthy, you know, they'll go. But even if he's 95% now, like, he's 95%. No, he's a no, a hard no. So that it's just an easy decision. He is throwing, and he'll do some underwear football stuff during the spring, you know, air 7-on-7s where there's literally, it's not even touch football. He'll do some of that stuff, but there's really no need for him to be engaged in the spring at all.
Essentially, Andy, he's coming back. This is like him coming back for the fourth year as a fourth-year starter on the same team he was on last year. If Matt Campbell didn't make the move here and that stayed at Iowa State, you would have had at Iowa State, same head coach, Matt Campbell, same offensive coordinator, same wide receivers, same tight ends. same running back, and there have been probably quarterbacks who stick around on their own team, their offense changes more than Rocco Beck's offense changed with him changing schools.
Yeah, there's literally going to be zero learning curve for him. It's all about just being healthy and figuring out what the other pieces look like and how he sees them in this offense. Him, as much as the OC, will be sort of, you know, a little bit guiding the ship based on what he sees and what he feels is best, because he has such a deep, intimate knowledge of this offense.
Yeah, I think he's all good, not to worry about him. But it's, as he mentioned, you know, other players, the two receivers coming in from Iowa State. Well, they're on the same cycle as Rocco Beck. They're not going to be doing any live action. And, you know, we're hearing that, you know, player after player. Tony Rojas is coming back after a full year off, essentially. Max Granville was out for the whole year coming back. There's so many players who fit that category. Andy, I still don't like that they're not having a scrimmage, but I get it. I get it because of everyone being injured or coming off injury, I should say.
So you have some work to do. If you get it, then it's a you problem. You have to make yourself understand it, but like it. Yes, you do, because it ain't changing, Jimmy. Your spring game, as you know it and loved it, that ship sailed, Jimmy. It is never coming back that way. You can long. It's okay to be longing for history. We all love what we remember is vintage, but you got to understand, like, it ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. I hate to be the mean dad in the room, but no, son, it ain't going to happen. And all means no.
Andy, let me explain to you why you were wrong. Because you're expecting me to mature in my thought process. That ship has sailed. I am not going to mature in my thought process. Just not going to happen, Andy. I'm an old man and it still hasn't happened yet. What makes you think I'm going to mature now? It's too late.
I'm just trying to help you have more curb appeal and not be the get off my lawn guy.
Old dog, new tricks. Ain't going to happen. I appreciate your effort, Andy. But I will give you one last question on that topic when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, we finished up segment number one talking about something that it's been an ongoing discussion. And you're correct. I will never learn. I will not, partly because I refuse to. And what we're talking about is this blue-white weekend, which has always been a scrimmage, something looking like a ball game. And I think my overriding issue with them not doing, and again, I said I'm a little more understanding this year with many players shaking off physical issues, injuries, but what I can't get over is this. They have 15 practices. At some point, don't they have to scrimmage? Don't they have to play similar to live action? Don't they have to try to tackle somebody? Don't they have to do something like that? And wouldn't you think in the big stadium with a crowd there, there's something to be gained, especially for the young players to just have exposure to playing in that environment on that field with a crowd there. Is there not something to be gained from that?
Small, a very small gain, I think. And it sounds like from listening to Matt that there's going to be a lot of install and sort of foundational things. And by foundational things also include, like, you know, basic technique, basic, you know, cadence, rhythm of practice, what the expectations are of a practice. They're sort of laying that all into place for the fall. A lot of fundamentals will be put into place. And you think that that's like, well, of course there'll be fundamentals, but these are going to be different fundamentals, Jimmy. So
you got 14 other practices for that, Andy. I want to see a scrimmage. Anyway,
I don't think you scrimmage as much anymore.
And we see that by the lousy tackling that's going on in college football. All right. Let's move on. Interesting point that came up, Andy, is that they are going to be practicing in the mornings now.
Yes.
Not later in the day. Is that big deal, little deal, no deal at all?
So it's a change deal. I don't know if it's a big deal. There is a belief and a conviction in this Penn State football coach, the former Iowa State football coach, that this matters. Like, this matters enough to make it a sort of foundation of the program. They're going to practice fall camp. They're going to practice regular season. Am I correct, Jimmy? Did I gather that information correctly? That this isn't just a spring thing. This is a whole practice thing. Like, when we practice, and it doesn't matter whether it's fall or in season, we're practicing in the morning hours.
Yeah, and that's the impression that I got. And I even, because it was from the press conference earlier this week, I mentioned that we had the opportunity to talk to a couple of the players.
Yeah.
And we brought it up with them. What do you guys think? Each one of them, and I think it was a sincere answer, not just the company line, they were all enthusiastic about it. They liked it. They felt it was great that they put in their time early on the football field, and then they felt better. Like, by noon, it's like, okay, now we're free. I can go to class now. Yes, they talked about going to classes also, and they were done, you know, with football practice for the day. They didn't have to, you know, have that on their mind while they were going to class. They liked it. The one funny part, though, was I think they talked, or we had heard from Matt Campbell or somebody else, I'm told practice started at 9 o'clock. So I said, well, that's not so bad. It's not like they make you get up for 6 a.m. practice. We got to be in the building by 6 a.m.
Yes.
For breakfast, then meetings. So we got to be up well before 6 a.m. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind.
So the interesting thing about this is, like, the practice starts at 9 and say they're done by 10:30, whatever. That four-hour block, 6 to 10, let's just put it in that window. The interesting part of it for me is, like, 75% of your day is done. You still have to go to class, but that's not the heavy lifting of your day. Like, by lunch time, you're like, pretty much my day's done, right? Yeah. Like, you have an open window to rest your body differently. Now, on the back end too, it also forces you to start your rest process earlier because you got to get up at 0500 or 0530, right?
For example. Exactly.
The interesting thing that I grasped from it was during the season, think about this, Jimmy, Thursday, they're done before noon. They're done by 10 a.m. for a game weekend. That's like 36 hours, 40 hours of body rest, you know, including travel. There's travel involved in this and stuff, but that gives it almost feels like they have like this extra time built in when they're not building any extra time in.
I think coaches and programs are learning, you know, more isn't always better. sometimes you need to get some recovery time too. Now, I think also, Andy, another quote that came up, someone asked him about essentially what are you looking for in spring practice? And he talked in terms of, and I don't know if a lot of people caught this, he talked, this is where we identify our gaps. It's where we identify where are we coming up short? Where do we need to do something?
It's finding out what you already knew and confirming that. And it's understanding what your measuring sticks and standards are that you're looking for and where it doesn't measure up. They're not saying we don't have the players. It's that we don't have that position solidified like we need to be. Defensive end is definitely going to be one of them. In my opinion, offensive line will probably most likely be another position where you're going to hear more about we still have some work. We still have some stuff to do there. They need to identify. It's more important to know what you don't have than what you have coming out of spring ball. It's 10 times more important. I've tried to say that. You need to know what you don't have more than what you do have coming out of spring ball, because you have a gap before you can really go back to work. And that gap isn't going to change anything. So you really got to know that so that you can spend time getting ready. How am I going to put this drywall back up and glue it and get it all hung so that I can put paint on it come August? That's what you need to know more than anything. You don't need to know about your quarterback and, you know, your linebackers, et cetera, because you have, if Tony's healthy, you have Tony and two studs from Iowa State. You don't need to know about that. You don't have to hang any drywall there, but it's desperately important. And I'm glad he mentioned this, that it's way more important to know where we aren't meeting, where we're short, instead of to know where we're solid.
Yeah. And that's an area we have to go to work on, you know, and I'm oversimplifying things, but it's like, gee, we have all these good linebackers. We don't have enough good defensive linemen. Does that mean we should play a 3-4 instead of a 4-3? Like I said, I'm oversimplifying things, but it's okay. Now we could focus on what we need to do, what we need to fix going forward. There was also another thing. It brought up my theory, Andy, of these press conferences. When you hear a coach talk about a specific player, understand what the question was first. If the question is, hey, Andy Shea, your third string right guard, how's he doing? He's going to tell you Andy Shea's been going great. He's a leader on and off the field. He works hard, blah, blah, blah. And that player's local newspaper is going to make that the headline about that player. What you want to look for is, when does the coach bring a name up on his own? And where I'm headed with this is, when asked about standouts on the defensive side, Zion Tracy was front and center. He brought up the name. It wasn't a member of the press bringing up the name.
He is the most elite football player on Penn State's roster. He should have been brought up. He stands out like a sore thumb, Jimmy. He's the best player on Penn State's football team. Forget the quarterback. Forget anybody else. I was surprised. It was a little surprising to hear Matt say he's the most elite player, and this is early, that he's ever coached. Like, well, get used to it, coach, because you're going to have access to these kind of guys now, right? Like, this is the kind of guy that Penn State's pedigree and money and sort of blue blood tradition gives you access to landing these kind of players. It's not a surprise to me from a football guy perspective, because he's the most elite player. He's the best player on the roster, hands down. It's not even, I don't even think it's a close to second, to be honest, in my opinion. He's so versatile. He's so smart and fast at the same time, which is kind of a weird combination. He's as smart as he is fast, and as and he's faster because he's so smart. That's kind of the way I'll put it. People might be going, what the heck are you talking about, Andy? He could play, he could be an elite corner, Jimmy. He could be an elite safety. Heck, you could move him down in the box and tell him to be a thumper type fifth nickel. You could play him at the nickel and say, just, we're going to retool our safety. It says he's playing safety. We're going to retool the safety for nickel package, and you're going to be our nickel. Yeah, no problem. He is that dynamic of a football player. And it's not a surprise that Matt found it, because Matt's like, good gracious, I've not seen this before.
Yes. I think you make a great point. It's, he's now going to be coaching a different type of football player than he did at Iowa State. And he's got to show that he can coach that kind of player, best take advantage of that kind of player. And I know we're going to pick up this part of the conversation in the fourth quarter.
Sure we are.
But you brought up the point of versatility. That seemed to be the other point of emphasis when he was talking about the defense, and he highlighted players. And the trait that he highlighted most was, this is a guy who can do multiple things for us. Andy, we'll do that. But first, we're going to do Ask Andy with your questions right after this.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. This is quarter number three, and it's Andy's favorite segment because he no longer gets grilled with questions by me. He gets drilled by questions by you. It's your questions for Andy. Let's hit it. Lots of questions to get through. Let's see how many we could do. Let's start with Mike in Charlotte, who says, I think Seinfeld was right. We essentially cheer for clothes. Why can't the NCAA just declare something similar to a private club, and to play in it, you have to abide by the rules? Sure, you would lose some top-end players and allow them to play in the spring NFL Pro League, but again, most of us cheer for the blue and white clothes, and would less focus on money be a bad thing?
So, Mike is looking for a forlorn, gone football. I do still, it's your school, right? I will say this. You still cheer for your school, right? Your colors, right? He is right. Just the dynamics around that. And first of all, the NCAA is powerless and they're not going to do anything. The dynamics around what you cheer for are different, but does that change the foundation of why you cheer for them, right? Like, that's would be sort of my $64,000 question is, yeah, the dynamics have changed, there's money involved, and you don't, your opinion is you don't like that. So is that enough for you to not cheer for your school or your colors? Well, no. Okay, well then keep your opinions to yourself and cheer for your team. That's the way I look at it. Your opinions are yours. You can have them, but unless it makes you cross the line of being like, I just can't root for Penn State anymore as a lifelong Penn State fan. Say you're a graduate of the school and you're a lifelong football fan. My buddy John's one of those. He goes, I don't like the money and stuff. It just kind of annoys me, but I love my school more and I like cheering for my football team. So I don't care what it is.
In the product, it's still very popular.
Yeah.
You're still, the game itself on the field is as good as it ever was. It's more competitive now. A couple years ago, Andy, there were two or three teams that could make We said we couldn't fill out a 4-team playoff, let alone 12. Now, yeah, we have more balance, more distribution of talent. And I'll tell you the other thing, that the players, they haven't really changed. I know you see, okay, we got a bunch of, we're going to be cheering for Iowa State. But these players are coming in. I'm learning that they're, yes, they're making money, but they also want to be here. There's more to it. And you've got a staff that's emphasizing more than, hey, we're just going to be the highest bidder. We want players who want to be here also. Yes, they're going to be compensated. All right, let's get, we'll do this one quick. How is your March Madness bracket doing? That's Jason from Mechanicsburg. Do you have a bracket, Andy?
I do not. I don't do it.
I don't play fantasy football,
and I don't fill out brackets.
I'll field the question. I will tell you my bracket. I'm doing okay.
You lost Florida.
No, I don't. I didn't have Florida going to the Final Four. Okay. I had them winning just one more game, and I had them losing. So that really helped me. So I still have a shot in my with my bracket. I had Houston beating them out to get to the Final Four, and Arizona winning it all. So far, I am okay. Let's go to Charlie in Erie, who says, when I look at this team, my biggest concern is the defensive line. Very little experience, no big-time edge rusher. The tackles are big, but that doesn't make them good. Am I wrong in my assessment?
Charlie, you are not. Charlie and Erie, you have hit the defensive hammer on the head. There's some meat on a bone on the outside, right? There's dudes on the inside. Are they Big Ten capable? It was, keep in mind, and this was last year's defense, new coordinator, new coaching staff. Going to be a lot of different on the defensive side of the ball. The defensive interior line play last year was as bad as I've seen it in 10 or 15 years. It was dreadful, Jimmy. So I feel there's a low bar, but I don't see a single very good, let alone a potential elite player on the defensive line today, right now. There is a little meat on the bone on the outside to develop and work with, but it's got to do some serious long strides to even get to good/very good. Capable, not proven. Inside, box of chocolates. No idea. Big dudes, can they play? Can they hold up in the Big Ten? No idea. We're going to find out. But it is the biggest concern for this football team on any position group, both sides of the ball across the board, defensive line is number one in my book.
I'm with you completely, Andy. And I think the one part to this is we've gotten so used to
elite,
a star elite edge rusher. It was always like an heir apparent. Abdul Carter Lee's. Hey, we got Deni Dennis Sutton coming back, you know, before that, Chop Robinson, before that, Arnold Ebiketie. You know, it's like we always had someone. Now, Von Kamaju, Max Granville, they're not that at that point.
They might one day, but not even close right now.
At defensive tackle, we don't know what we have. All right, let me I'm going to do this one. Harry from Youngstown. My question is for Jim.
Oh, gosh. It's my segment, Harry. Come on.
Harry, we love you. In an earlier show, Jim, you stated that the first Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament should be a holiday. What about baseball opening day? The short answer is yes. Opening day should be a holiday. And in fact, I think I will point out a mistake. Well, two mistakes Harry made in his question. One was he has baseball at opening day. He doesn't have those in capital letters. opening day should be in capital letters, like Memorial Day, President's Day, opening day should be in capital letters, should be a holiday. And the actual NCAA tournament, Andy, I didn't say Thursday and Friday should be holidays in that first round. Just Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. You work half a day.
You work half a day.
Yes. But then because it's like you got to be get with your buds at work, then you figure out what bar you're going to go to at noon to start watching the games, eat buffalo wings, drink beer. Make sure you bring along the Tic Tacs because you got to throw a mint in when you go home and tell your significant other that you worked all day. So leave me alone while I go watch the evening games. So,
you're being deceptive. I have a better Thursday, Friday. It's the first 2 days of the Masters. I'm sorry. You have all day, both days. They should be holidays.
Andy, there you go. Another holiday. I'm okay with that too.
That's funny.
All right, let's move on. Next up, this is for you. It's actually this one anonymous. They didn't give us the name. That's okay. Andy, Matt Campbell is bringing in a new defensive coordinator in Danton Lynn. Will this be Matt Campbell's defense or Danton Lynn's defense?
Ooh.
I knew anonymous. You'd like that question.
Anonymous, it's a good one.
Next time, put your name on it, but that's all right. You still put out a good question.
It will be Lynn's defense, but Matt Campbell will make it clear. Matt will make it clear what he is looking for and expects from the defense, and then it'll be up to Lynn to make it look like that. So I think it'll be Lynn. The foundation will be Matt's. The execution will be Lynn. I don't think Lynn can say, well, I think it's better that we run a 4-3 as opposed to a 3-2-5, for example, right? Like, and he'll be like, well, okay, coach, just you say it so. He'll want to, you know, show me why. Tell me why. I think Matt's one of those guys that he's not stuck in a box. But he needs serious conviction and convincing for him to come inside your coordinator box. And so I still think you're going to see like the personnel, like I'm going to move this guy here, do X, Y, and Z with this guy and do this on third down to create pressure. I think those will be all Lynn's calls. The movements of the chess pieces will be up to Lynn. The foundation will be set by Matt.
And I think, Andy, I'm going to go a little bit by what I've learned from you about Danton Lynn, which is that he's not stuck in a certain box for how he plays his defense. And it sounds like Matt Campbell is like that also, where they'll make the defense fit the talent that they have, and they – admire players who are versatile. You heard him, Matt Campbell, in the press conference talk, and you did too, about Zion Tracy being able to do multiple things. He then proceeded to mention other players, and we're going to talk about this more in quarter four, their flexibility. The linebackers have shown that, the DBs, and in questioning Omarion Davis earlier this week when he had a chance to interview him, I asked him, give us the scouting report on you as a safety. Give us your scouting report. I'm able to do multiple things. I could play safety. I could play cornerback. I could get into the box.
A great example of this is Zion, right? And Matt kind of hinted at this in his press conference. You got to figure out what he's best at. Like, so Zion can do a myriad of things. What is he uber elite at? And that's his 80% of the snaps. We don't know. It could be corner. It could be safety. It could be, you know, a nickel type, multi moving around type back. Whatever that is, that's 80% of his snaps. The other 20%, that's up to Lynn to find the chess pieces and move him around.
All right, Andy, that is going to be the final word for quarter number three. Stick around. We got more to go.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We are talking about this Penn State football team. After Ask Andy, we're kind of back to Matt Campbell's press conference, and it's going to tie into, I think, our questions where we finished up with Ask Andy. And in talking about the defense, Andy, the versatility we're hearing about the players, that seems to fit what the defensive coordinator wants. It seems to fit with the head coach wants. Is it the right personnel for that type of versatility on defense?
Yes, it's that this defense is going to be multiple because Lynn's good at that, but it's going to be multiple because it has to be, because they've got some shortcomings, and they're going to have to, particularly up front. I think they're going to be okay at corner, but that could be a little wobbly. I think the strength of this defense is they have one of the better secondary players in the Big Ten, and they have good linebackers, right? They have potentially good linebackers, but they do not have a good foundation up front. So they're going to have to cover that up. So they're going to have to be multiple. They're going to have to make some good chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, and figure out how to mix and match the pieces to make, to cover up and make the, your weakness at least a modicum of strength. That's what they're going to have to do.
Well, Andy, the more I'm introduced to the players that are coming in, specifically from Iowa State, you're getting good linebackers from Iowa State. You're getting a couple good safeties from Iowa State. You're returning some good cornerbacks. Boy, it just feels like it's going to fall on that defensive line. I know they like to transfer from Colorado at defensive end.
Yep.
But, and they like, you know, Camaju and Granville, but we haven't seen it on the field. I'm less concerned about the edge. Boy, I'm concerned about the middle, defensive tackle.
I think defensive tackle has a low bar to go up. I'm more concerned about the defensive end, because that's, if you're going to be aggressive and you're going to be able to dictate a little bit more of the terms and tempo, then you've got to be able to establish some pocket impact and have some stability slash some very good play coming off the edge. I think you can muddy up the middle and make it work. I don't think you can hide the edge as much. I understand what you're saying. You're not wrong that on its merits, the inside looks worse than the outside, but I would counter and say that on what you really need to unleash some of the beasts that Penn State already has in the production that is known and the players that they have that have those capabilities, I think they're very, very short on the edge. They're miles short on the edge. They're still short on the inside, but I think you can throw some water and some dirt and make that a muddy mess in the middle.
What they do have there is size. It seems pretty obvious they want some big boys there.
You need that in the Big Ten, because the interior three in the Big Ten offensively is where a lot of Big Ten offenses, the tackle's the edge. They make a big deal about it in college football, and they should. But it seems that in the Big Ten that if down the middle of the field still matters more. It's just a difference. In the SEC, it's different. It is just a slight difference, Jimmy. I'm not saying it's a day and night difference. It's just a slight difference. Down the middle still matters more. Like in the Big 12, down the middle is irrelevant, right? Like it's completely irrelevant. They just try and run to green spaces. They do a little bit more of it in the SEC. The middle, down the middle of the field still matters in the Big 10, just in the way the conference plays its football. It's a very subtle difference, Jimmy. It's not big, but it is a difference.
Yeah, there are teams that will look to just push you around if Correct. They can. If they could get, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, this still a strategy in the Big Ten. Let's go to the other side of the ball for a second, Andy. I'm not concerned about the skill positions. Maybe I should. I should learn my lessons at Penn State. You're always going to have to worry about the wide receivers.
You're darn right you should.
But my biggest concern is the offensive line, and everything starts there. It's at the very least, a rebuild going on there.
It's a mix and match rebuild, right? There's a little bit of known, a little bit of the known, and by the known, I mean the Penn State players. Like, healthy, depends on how he comes back. Anthony Donko. You know Cooper Cousins, that's probably your right guard, right? Anthony's probably your left tackle. There's a known to the coaching staff entities and a couple of the transfer guys. So there's no continuity. There's a little bit of known and a lot of mixing and matching, which means I don't know if it's a full rebuild, but it's definitely a rebuild retool for sure. I think the offensive line, because the quarterback, the way the offense will be built around the quarterback and his ability to handle the offense being built around him, he can cover that up. The wide receivers need to be at his level. He can carry and hide the offensive line. He can't hide and carry wide receivers that aren't capable of getting open in the Big Ten, getting a little separation in the Big Ten. Obviously, this is familiar to you Penn State fans. You know what that looks like. So that it bogs down the offense to where it's just a grind. So that's what the difference needs to be. That's why you're right on its merits, but I still think for me, these receivers against Big Ten, against a next level competition, need to show that they can help this quarterback as much as this quarterback will be able to help this offense move in the Big Ten. I think Rocco's fully capable of being an elite Big Ten quarterback. Can the receivers match him?
I believe they can. I think it's also I love the tight end room.
Yeah, the tight ends are really good. They have three of them.
Right. I think bringing Rapoulier back was a big deal.
Got your red zone guy.
Yeah. You got your other two tight ends coming from Iowa State combined for, you know, like close to 70 receptions.
Good production. I think
starting with Chase Soule and Brett Eskildson, it's a good starting point for. And these are receivers that have worked with Rocco Beck before.
Correct.
So I think there's something, a solid base that starts there. At offensive line, and you put it well, Andy, I think that mix and match idea
is
really what's going on. You know, do you trust Cooper Cousins and Anthony Donka to anchor? Yeah, are you mentioned Donka playing left tackle?
It could be right tackle.
He'll be one of the tackles. You know, is it he and Cooper Cousins solidify the right side? I think the center position sort of is kind of the example for it. You've got Dominic Arulie, who's returning. You also have the kid from Texas State who's coming in, Brock Riker, who he's thought well of, but it's a different level of competition. Yeah,
it is.
It's a huge lift. He's a young guy. Rooley is the veteran guy, but neither one of them is this solid, experienced starter returning from a, you know, the Big Ten conference or a comparable conference. That's kind of how I feel like the entire offensive line is being put together. You have another interior lineman, Trevor Burr, who played quite a bit at Iowa State. He's probably got the heads up at one of the guard positions. You mentioned Donka, one tackle or the other.
But who's the other tackle?
Right. A year ago, we felt like, boy, this is
they
a
have team three starting tackles.
Yeah. This they year, did. I feel like they have one.
I agree. I feel they have one tackle. I feel center is a competition between the Rooley and Brock. I think it's an open competition. It's not one or the other. One of them is going to win the job. I think you have a guard, and I think you have. I need to know who's. They're going to put someone. Obviously, they're going to put someone at right tackle and left guard, but that's where the match comes in, right? The mixing. And are they a match? Do they mix? Can this offensive line gel? Are they talented enough to play those, to be those positions? I still think they'll be capable. I don't think they're going to be part of a problem because I feel the mix and match. I really feel that if there's going to be a problem position, and I like the production. I think they were good Big 12 receivers. They weren't elite Big 12 receivers. Can that transfer to the Big 10? I don't know. Here's the other thing I want to say about the receiver. There's not a Penn State, you know, there's not a Penn per se, a Penn State name that you knew from the receiver room pretty much a year ago or even two. There's nobody left. There's some new kids on the block there, but there's really not much Penn State transition. It's the one position where they're like, yeah, these are going to be Iowa State guys, and we have a bunch of guys we're going to be looking at. There's not much Penn State known in the mix at the wide receiver position. That's a good thing, in my opinion. I'm just saying it out loud, Jimmy. That's a good thing.
Well, you hope finally that there'll be, you develop some of your own. You know, I think Kobe Howard coming back is a guy that we saw more of him at the end of the year when Terry Smith took over.
He could be a slot guy.
I think Matt Campbell mentioned his name. And so I think they understand. And again, I'll bring up in this whole process, Andy, the players that stuck around, it's not just that the player wanted to be here, but it was also the staff wanted them to stay.
Yeah, and the money was right. And the staff wanted them as part. They saw them as part of a solution going right. forward.
The money was right because the staff said, we want to keep the player, so that's where we're investing the money. Over here is a player, we're not so concerned about him returning. Well, the way you send that message is how big is the check? All right, Andy, as always, it went way too fast. That's going to have to be the final word. Thank you, Andy. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.